This episode of Tarpod is brought to you by PageUp.
PageUp is a cloud-based talent management software solution offering a full suite of best-of-breed tools to help you recruit, develop and retain high-performing teams and deliver measurable results.
Customers love PageUp for its deep functionality, configurability and world-class support that's better than the rest.
So head on over to pageuppeople.com to check out all their offerings, including their newest recruitment marketing tool, which allows recruitment teams to attract, nurture and convert high-quality talent with less manual effort.
And don't forget to tell them, Tarpod sent you.
Welcome to Tarpod, the podcast for everything talent acquisition and recruitment. We're informative, controversial and a little bit crazy. Now please join your hosts and industry leaders, Lauren Sharp and Craig Watson.
Hi everyone, welcome to Tarpod. I'm Craig.
And I'm Lauren. And today we are joined by Joe McCaddy, Head of Talent Acquisition for Invisible Partners and Global Career Coach, and Sandra Lim, who is Senior Talent Acquisition Consultant at AusNet Services. But both ladies here are representing Jobs for Australia.
Welcome, ladies. Good to have you in the house.
And congratulations to both of you and everybody at Jobs for Australia for your fabulous effort last year of all coming together and winning the Community Award for the ITERS.
Yeah, well done. Another clap. And funny, Joe, your new role you just said at Invisible Partners, it's quite ironic that it's with Invisible Partners and it's invisible on LinkedIn so far.
I've literally just started this week, 1st of Feb, and I have not updated LinkedIn. Yes, I'm one of those people that I spent so much time last year on LinkedIn and I'm not on it, haven't been on it much this year, so I will update it.
All right, ladies, well, what we always do when we start the show is, particularly with people who haven't been on before, is just to get a bit of a better understanding their background. If we can have a brief sort of reach back in time to when you started in recruitment or even prior to that and your journey to where you are now. So Sandra, if you'd like to go first, tell us a little bit about your story.
When I was 17, I was working retail, really, and sales when I was at uni, and I kind of picked up recruitment on the side from there. So that's how my journey into recruitment started. It was through agency, recruiting for promotion people to work at Myers and DJs, you know, when we still had the motor shows in Melbourne for the Honda motor shows. It was really fun. It was really not the usual kind of recruitment. And then realized I didn't really like the agency well and jumped into internal HR, worked in that. Didn't really like HR because I didn't want to deal with people's problems. and then moved into talent acquisition, which is, you know, all about the fun stuff. Bringing people in, fulfilling their dreams, career matchmaking. That was what I was doing.
Oh, it just sounds like rainbows and lollipops, doesn't it?
Oh. I'm with you though. I can't do the huggy HR stuff. It's not me. Not me at all. God, no. at any point in our relationship, Craig, has it struck you that I'm a huggy type of person?
You've never hugged me once.
Twice, actually.
Joe, and what about your background? So tell us a little bit about your journey.
Yeah, so for me, I loved chemistry from high school. I had a fantastic teacher and I loved it so much I went and did applied chemistry in university, and I honestly thought that was going to be what I would do for the rest of my life. So I did work a couple of years as an R&D scientist in the chemical sector here in Melbourne, and then I did what a lot of Australians do, went travelling. And I had the intention of, no, I don't want to do chemicals, I want to add value, I want to join the pharmaceutical sector and make an impact. And I signed up with an agency called Lab Support at the time, Chris Richards, and they found an opportunity for me, and I was going to sign the dotted line. It was Idaho in Basingstoke. It was like I knew it was a 42-minute train ride from door to door. And before that happened, they put this proposition in front of me and said, why don't you consider joining us as a recruiter? I'm like, what? Scientist, recruiter, how is that going to work? And
so after a couple of conversations,
2 days later, I took that switch and I haven't looked back since. It seems I found people more interesting. So I worked in agency, hit a glass ceiling, then got into executive search, and then ended up internal with GSK in Brentford in the UK. And that was back in, I think, 2011, many moons ago.
No, I'm kidding.
Thanks, Sandra. Cheers. I don't look my age, please. So 2011, that's where it was ignited in terms of the candidate engagement piece. Being internal, people were coming to me and asking for advice about how do I take that next step, Joe, or how do I, you know, take that next level up, or how do I go and work in a different department? And then people kept getting referred to me, and I noticed that that's actually where the career coaching mindset really came to play. And it wasn't until 2018 that I started to do that as a side hustle whilst I was doing consulting with TQ Solutions. And so fast forward to now, and I'm happily running my startup, Global Career Coaching, and then I've just been appointed into this role of head of talent, operations and community. And it's all about expanding the community of TA professionals, ready-made on the bench, and to come up with some initiatives on how to enhance their skills when they go to client sites and so on and so forth. So that's pretty much me in a nutshell.
Wow. Fantastic, guys. So today you're both here representing the great initiative of Jobs for Australia. So my first question is how does a talent acquisition event specialist, the head of sales for an ATS, and a people and culture author get together firstly in a room and then come up with something like this?
For me, I came just after, I guess, the idea came to fruition. So it was already underway. My job had been impacted, like many of us had that experience. And it was Andrea, of course. Andrea is so well connected, and we're so grateful for her because she's the one that kind of brings everyone together. So Rich Lewis, Justine, and Andrea had come up with this idea. It was born out of the Jobs for Lebanon. So Roy Bilardi and his big dreams of, you know, helping to help people who have been impacted. And that's what it led to. It led to, well, TA professionals have been impacted. How about they help others out there in the marketplace with their skill set whilst, you know, they look for the new opportunity? But it's not just that, it's coming together as a community and helping each other out with their mindset or overwhelm and etc., because it was a tough time for everybody. So I think it was organically grown, if I was going to just, you know, summarize that. Sandra?
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. Definitely Roy Bilardi's playbook had a lot to do with it. It was tailored for, the Australian audience and what was going through Australia at the time. It was the onset of the pandemic. Like Joe, I came in after that whole thing was set up, but really inspired by, you know, everyone in my TA and recruitment community and the HR community that came through and bought for that.
Mm. And how many people are in the community, so as volunteers?
Yeah, there are about 30 volunteers, but they're not all active now. Sure. That we've got people on the bench, and we're about to reignite stage two for Jobs for Australia. So we're reflecting on, you know, what was the need that was apparent in 2020? And it was helping people wherever they were, you know, whether it was, you know, interview skills or just having the community vibe, you know, those weekly webinars that they have or that we had. It was all to do with bringing everyone together so they didn't feel alone whilst they were going through the motions of having to find an opportunity. I think that was quite instrumental. You know, there was a time when our resilience sessions were so popular, and then you could see that people were gaining that confidence and benefiting from, you know, having that coaching because they didn't need that anymore. We'd move on to the next thing and interview skills or, you know, in terms of job search strategy and that kind of stuff. Mm.
No, I agree with you. And also with a lot of people in the TA community, and we're all on the same chat groups, and every single day people in our industry were losing their jobs last year constantly. So I think it gave the TA people in the community not just something to do, to put their skills to use and feel that they were valued out there as well, which a lot of us were at a loose end and a lot of us still are.
Yeah, so back to your question of how many we had. We had, you know, anywhere between 30 and 40 at one stage. Everyone was quite interested to support, and even people that were working wanted to lend a hand in terms of, I've got, you know, X amount of hours I can allocate to help people. And we want to continue it. So we're coming up with a plan. We've got a three-tiered plan that we'll share with you guys at some point very soon.
Today?
Well, not just yet, because Roy and I have been chatting over the last couple of weeks, and then I want to, you know, get in touch with Andrea and Rich, and because we want it to continue. But it's not just the idea of, oh yeah, it's a great initiative and it's fantastic and it has high visibility. It's more to do with, okay, where's the market at and where can we continue to meet the gap with the TA professionals that can gift their time? So yeah, it's exciting times. Can't tell you much just yet, but Sandra, yes, you're also going to be involved in this, by the way.
Just in case you didn't know.
Your input will be required.
Yeah. Do you guys, so Sandra, do you have an indication or a knowledge of around about the numbers of people that you helped or supported through last year?
Yeah, I don't really have a high level number. I think, Joe, you were keeping track of the numbers at one stage.
So it was just under, I think, 600 that we had helped in terms of, the coaching piece. And I think moving forward, what would have been lovely is to know if we could have captured where people ended up, because, you know, that would be the ideal scenario to be able to celebrate. So I know we individually had celebrations because we would share with the community in Slack, you know, great news, the person I've been coaching has just landed something, and that's what we wanted. That was the ultimate, for someone to get clarity on what it is that they wanted to do, get coaching in terms of, you know, upping their CV and enhancing their LinkedIn or, you know, increasing their networking capability, and you really nailing it at the interview and then getting to an offer stage. I think that's the magic, and that's what we wanted to see more of. So I think moving forward, it'd be lovely to capture that.
That would be good, actually. Where are we now?
Yeah. Definitely. And because, you know, each individual required a different sort of level of contribution from us, you know, some were really easy, you know, we just really had to help them out with their CVs or scan their LinkedIn. Some required a little bit more coaching in terms of interviews. You know, there were people that I had, you know, that never lost their jobs before. And it's been 20 years since their last interview. So that was really hard. You know, at times you've got to park aside that career conversation and actually have a life, I guess, conversation instead. You know, maybe it's time to look at what you want to do. Where do you see yourself? Is this the right role for you? You know, you've been in there for 20 years. What do you want to do next? So a lot of that was taking in a lot of counseling work, I think. And we use, I guess, a lot of our HR and recruitment skills that we've had previously to not just talk about, okay, let's do the reactive, get you a job kind of thing, but it was really listening to their stories. I think that took a lot more effort, I think, and being able to empathize, really, what were they going through, because we were going through some of the same things as well.
I think one of the things I'm really interested in is sort of from a process perspective is when a person came to you requiring support, how was that person put with a volunteer? Was it based on their background and the volunteer's background? Is that aligned? Or was it who was available and who had the time to put in that was required? How did it all work?
It was a little bit of both. For smart recruiters, we use that platform, which is amazing. And when we would have people come in and request support for coaching, we would allocate based on availability, but also, yes, seniority came into play because we had some senior professionals who needed to talk to people who maybe understood the market better. And also it's the confidence piece as well, because some TA professionals have never done coaching before. So we had to, you know, provide the induction and equip them with the right skills and the coaching mindset to ask the right questions, and not just throwing them into the deep end, although sometimes they probably felt like that because there were a hiatus at different points of the year last year, tapering off more towards the end of the year. But we still had lots of people requesting, and we still have, even though we really haven't been doing any brand marketing and awareness on LinkedIn as we were doing last year. So yeah, I think that's it in a nutshell. What do you think, Sandra?
Yeah, agree. It was a little bit of both, you know, in certain occasions as well. It could be, you know, you get assigned to somebody, but you don't have that specialist skill set in recruiting in that field. We would be sharing that on Slack going, hey, has anyone recruited in banking? Is anyone recruited in tech? Maybe you're a better coach for this person. So it was a little bit of that, and then we would reassign as necessary.
So how is the market looking this year as things, obviously we're seeing things pick up, things are beginning to move a bit. In regards to Jobs for Australia, are you seeing your numbers dropping off? Do you think they're going to be picking up again? Give us an overview of what you girls think is going to happen in the market.
See, this is another sneaky way of trying to get the next plans out of you.
Thank you for the background for warning me, but I'm still not going to give it away just yet.
So not my intent, Craig.
Yeah, so for me, from my perspective, and I'd love to hear what Sandra has to say about this too in terms of input, I think we're going to see a hiatus of job seekers out there by the end of March. And that's because that's when the JobKeeper will be coming to an end unless they extend that further. And so we're going to see individuals probably looking at what are their options. They're going to be feeling quite disheartened if they haven't had a job since, you know, the beginning of the pandemic and they're still in that pickle of a situation. They're going to need some support, you know, in terms of their mindset and confidence more than anything else, even if they have had years of experience. So, yeah, that's what I see happening. We're going to see perhaps an increase on people going for job seeker and people needing to look for opportunities and perhaps us needing to lend a hand.
I think from where I see it as well, slightly different angle. Yes to all those points with job seeker and job keeper and all that. But then you've also got, you know, a group of people that were working very, very hard in 2020, didn't feel like they were in the right job for them, but then also didn't feel like they could leave because, you know, of the unstable job market, didn't feel like they could voice, you know, how unhappy they might have been in their jobs, or, you know, how overworked and stretched they didn't feel like they could complain because they were grateful that they still had jobs coming in. I think we're going to see a few of those spilling over, looking for jobs as well, and potentially, you know, reaching out and touching base with us on how they can find a different career pathway, or, you know, some job coaching on that as well.
Yeah, we're coming up to nearly 12 months since COVID hit our shores here in Australia. So, unfortunately, some people have been out of work for nearly that whole time. Mm. Yeah. And I do sort of say to people at the moment too, when looking through CVs, it's okay to have that gap and put down COVID. It's okay because the whole world is going through this.
Yeah.
The whole world. So many people have lost jobs. So many people are having these forced career breaks because of a pandemic. So it's fine to pop that on your resume. I keep telling people, everyone understands.
I agree.
Yeah.
And it's interesting that you say that, Lauren, because I feel as though people are now being more transparent about other gaps they've had on their CV too.
Mm.
That's what the blessing of 2020 has given, that it's given people permission to actually be authentic about, okay, this is a gap that I had because of maternity leave, or because I had to take mental health, there was a loss in the family, or I was traveling, or they're more open to actually articulating exactly what that gap was about, not just during this time, but previous years.
And it goes the other way as well, with employers looking at short-term gigs over that, like, late 2019 through to 2020. It's like, oh, they weren't there long. COVID, hello. You've got to take these into consideration over this time period forever now. So it's a matter of changing our thinking at these gaps, which you're right, Jo, the maternity gap that women are constantly trying to hide in their CVs is now okay, when now that the other half of the population realise that they've now had 6 months off and they're still just as skilled as they were 6 months ago.
Yeah.
This is it. And I often have to coach females who have had kids into getting back that self-confidence, that they haven't just lost everything that they've learned and that they've done throughout their career, that they're still ready to embark and be successful. So, that still happens.
So, well, that training goes back from just coaching the candidates but also coaching the interviewers and the employers, that they've got to not look at these gaps as a hindrance. It just shows you the multitasking skills that we can do.
So when you look back at last year, there are some blessings or some opportunities that have come out of it. And one of those is that we've got an opportunity.
You got to spend more time with me.
Oh, God.
Lucky bastard.
But the re-education of both candidates and prospective employers around accepting gaps is something that's good that's come out of it, I think. I was working with someone last week and an interview with them, and it was in the tech space, and their most recent work finished last June, I want to say, and they were a developer, but they'd worked in the airline industry. Mm-hmm. And you didn't even have to ask a question about it. It was, you know, the answer's there, and the answer's there for employers now, or potential employers as well. So it's re-education, isn't it? Because we've, as recruiters, where whether it be consciously or subconsciously, have been taught to look at gaps as a negative thing.
Mm.
And people are too scared to say, well, you know, I took time out to go on holiday. Because then the employer will go, oh, flight risk. You know, all these sort of things that now that we can go, well, there's reasons as a part or as opposed to excuses now for gaps and changes in resumes. And I, leads me on to another point. Now, on your website or the JFA website, it said that the four main pillars of what you were doing or support was resume support, LinkedIn profile support, interview preparation and personal branding. But both of you have talked about that coaching aspect, which has sort of crept into. So it's evolving. Like JFA's solution has evolved over even over the last year and probably again into the next incarnation.
Yes, and so much so that I have a belief, and maybe it's because of my coaching background now or the fact that I kind of figured out what fulfills me is the candidate engagement piece and, you know, taking someone from where they are and getting them to the next career destination. I feel that every TA professional out there and every recruiter actually, in fact, even agency perspective, we don't have time to coach people through, you know, your CV sucks, let me help you with that. We usually want it already ready-made because we've got a client that's, you know, breathing down our neck and we have to fill that role. But after last year, I feel as though recruiters need that coaching mindset, and it's to their benefit as well as the candidate and the client, because more and more, after 2020, you know which employers not to touch because of how they handled the situation of, you know,
everybody talks.
Yes. And then you've got employers that everyone will want to join because they allow flexibility and they'll continue to do so, or a myriad of other things, you know, from a culture perspective. So I feel as though TA professionals, yeah, need to start having that coaching mindset, and recruiters, yeah. Mm.
Is it just as dangerous, though, for a recruiter to jump into a coaching seat if they're not, if they haven't got the skill to coach? Is there, what you're saying is right, but do the recruitment, talent acquisition industries need to be upskilled people within to make sure that they can provide that coaching?
Absolutely. Yes. I feel as though,
yeah, yes. But I don't see it happening on a recruitment agency sort of side, because really
not agency, you know.
No, they won't definitely invest. Not agency, but you would see it internal, especially when we're starting to talk about the mobility side of things and all of that. But agency side, where's the money in that? They're not going to see it, and that's all they're about.
Yeah, I think it's more to do with, whilst they're engaging with the candidates and they're selling the proposition of a client, it's getting like down to the crux of, is this person right for this opportunity, and just taking that extra time. And it's to their benefit, because if that candidate's not right, then it's not going to end up being a role that they fill. So really, by default, it's a placement. If they're helping that candidate and it aligns with the client needs and the client likes them and the candidate likes them, I think that's the proposition from an agency perspective, I feel.
I just wanted to ask a question that's circling back a little bit to JFK, and we'll
JFK.
Go JFK.
Are you the man on the grassy knoll?
circling back to JFA. Just what I wanted to ask is what both of you individually and personally have got out of this experience. So, Sandra, tell us a little bit about, you know, there would be an element of a rewarding experience, but how's it affected you working within that environment over the last year?
Yeah, so just to share, I guess for myself as well, I was unemployed for 8 months during 2020. A good chunk of that I devoted my time with JFA. So it provided me a lot of, I guess, mental health positive vibes, you know, knowing that, you know, I was waking up, I had a routine, I had people to help out, I had, you know, a set amount of work to do, that kind of thing. That was really helpful. It's given me a lot of, I guess, experience in front of speaking, you know, on podcasts, in front of cameras, recording videos, that all the things that I would not normally have done, because I don't like talking in public at all, in that usual setting. So I think I've developed, you know, strengths from a speaking perspective. I'm still not very articulate, and I don't think I will be, as you can tell, but that's just the way it's going to be.
You're doing really well.
You're a star.
You're doing better than Lauren.
Oh. You're right, you know, it's that feel good factor as well, that you've done something good, but you've also done something to improve your own career, your thinking, your leadership skills. And to be honest, I think I've become a more authentic person. You know, this, I'm not hiding behind this weird facade, you know, everyone can see my house, they can look at my bookshelf, that kind of thing. This the boundaries and the walls have come down, I think, for me.
Yeah. Jo, do you have anything to add to that?
Yeah, for me, Jobs Australia was instrumental to give me that nudge to really focus on taking proto-science to the next stage, the coaching stuff, because I loved it so much, what I was doing with JFA. And it led to the weekly webinars. I had an intention at the beginning of 2020, I wanted to do speaking engagements. I wanted to get out there. And it was a recruitment event that I had attended in October 2019. And before that, I was living under a rock. But when I attended that, I was like, oh my gosh, this is a whole community. And we're talking about things that matter and people care and it is a sector. And so that gave me the inspiration. And then, you know, joining Jobs for Australia really gave me that extra nudge. And I'm so grateful for that, because what that meant was, I've been coaching people. I've created a program. I've come up with this seven-step approach, you know. And other things that it has done is community. The TA community is a fabulous community. And what Andrea has done is, I can't speak even more highly for, you know, than I have in the past, but I will here. She has something to say for bringing us all together. I've met some amazing humans throughout this time in 2020, all of which are on this call as well.
Aww.
And that has led to really feeling empowered and enabled. And yeah, speaking engagements did come up and I have had the opportunity to do so. And just like with Sandra, the more you do it, the better you get at it. Mm. And being able to lean on others and be a part of something that does make a difference, ultimately. Yeah.
That's it has, and I think it, the community that we've developed here, and Andrea's, well, she kicked it off big time here, and it's grown from there, has really put a lot of us out of our comfort zone and pushed us to do better.
Exactly.
It really has.
We've all become better versions of ourselves as a consequence. Mm. Yeah.
I find that really interesting that, you know, JFA was set up to help people, and it's helped the people involved as well, or just as much.
Yeah, absolutely. It's given us a lot of purpose during a time when we really leant on each other and needed each other, where a lot of other people out there in their industries probably didn't have the network we had, which was
exactly right. Brought us all together. Yep. Yeah.
Zoom drinks on a Friday, girls.
Yay!
Soon to be face-to-face drinks on Fridays.
Oh, loving
yes,
that.
Come on. Yes, we want that to happen.
So yeah, a little bit of normality back to our everyday lives, which everyone really, really needs, I think.
Yeah, I mean, we had 112 days of lockdown and we're so grateful that we're able to go out there. I mean, but, you know, the freedom to sit in a restaurant or in a cafe and have a catch-up with your friends and family, I mean, that's reduced now in numbers, but look at the rest of the world. Our hearts go out to what's going on in the UK and US as a starting point, and some parts of Europe as well. So, yeah, couldn't think of being in a better place than here.
No, I'm the same. Here in New Zealand are the places to be right now.
Yes, yes.
And on that note,
I think it's going to be a goodbye from me.
And a goodbye from me. Thanks, guys, very much.
Ladies, it's been a pleasure.
I know it went really quickly too, didn't it?
It did.
Really, really quickly. But thanks so much for your time today. Shorter than a trip to the dentist and got more out of it. But we're really looking forward to what's next for JFA and both of you two as individuals as well. Mm. And we are going to track that journey quite closely.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
But thanks again and good luck with everything, guys.
Yeah. So, ladies and tar potters, it's a goodbye from me.
And a goodbye from me. Bye now. Today's episode of TARPOD was brought to you by the good people at PageUp.
PageUp is a cloud-based talent management software solution offering a full suite of best-of-breed tools to help you recruit, develop and retain high-performing teams and deliver measurable results.
Customers love PageUp for its deep functionality, configurability and world-class support that's better than the rest.
Head on over to pageuppeople.com to check out all of their offerings, including their newest recruitment marketing tool, which allows recruitment teams to attract, nurture, convert high-quality talent with less manual effort.
Hey, and don't forget to tell them that TARPOD sent you.
Thanks for listening to TARPOD. Please don't forget to subscribe and look out for upcoming podcasts.
We're going Camilla today because I thought you girls were coming in, so I didn't wear my daggy torn jeans.
Camilla? What's that mean?
Fuck me. Effort. I went to effort.
What's Camilla? What's Camilla mean?
One each.
We owe you a coffee.
One each. One each.
We do owe you a coffee. One each. You get two. Double espressos. Double.